Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into YouSwap Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of at-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socio-economic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. The number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/RGRU. That's www.myspace.com/RGRU. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Well, good evening. This is Leivon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of YouSwat Radio Program. I'm coming to you again from Florida, the sunny state of Florida, and I've enjoyed my stay here. I'm returning to my homeland tomorrow, and I'm just delighted to be here. I've had the opportunity to meet with various ministers, multiple worship experiences, and it's just been a blessing being in Florida, and I have more work to do as soon as I hit ground in my homeland tomorrow. Those of you who are listening by internet and for some reason may have to get off, or those of you who listen by phone and want the number to call other people, somehow you can look online to get our number, and you can call 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. I am delighted of the Holy Spirit today to be able to share with you again the Word of God. For it is the Word of God, it is the power of God unto salvation. I encourage you to join me on April the 5th through the 12th. We are going to have an exciting encounter of the Word of God as we launch our special leadership institute ministry for times of leadership for times of recession. And I would also encourage you to join me this Wednesday when I get back into my homeland. I'm going to visit Virginia, and I'll be teaching at the South County building this Wednesday, as the announcement just read before. I want to encourage you to join me at one of the sessions of the Rhema Group. It is an enlightenment group that studies the Word at an advanced pace. And I think it will be healthy for those of you who are purposed to be in ministry without the obligation of joining any allegiances to the organization. We don't even take offerings at that venue, and the Lord is blessing and sustaining the opportunity for us to minister at a wonderful facility that can hold hundreds of people. And we would encourage all of you in the Virginia area or in the Maryland area to be looking on the website myspace.com.gru. And you can look on the websites and get information about the Rhema groups. And we're looking forward to opening up another Rhema group location in the Maryland area. So be looking for that soon as well. And I'm not saying that to just put it out there, but it is already purposed in the plan to have that venue open up in this coming year. And so I want to encourage you to learn what's going on in the organization. I've had the opportunity to market the organization this week in a greater capacity by sharing some material with the ministry leaders, and I plan on continuing furthering some more materials out there. Tonight we're going to continue into our preparation for Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life, a series that we've been on all month. We had a special break last Thursday dealing with preaching, women preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had the president of the organization address the women of God in ministry to take a greater appreciation to the role that they have. This month, the month of March, is the month that we celebrate women in leadership and women's contribution to history globally. And so I think it's very appropriate that this month we acknowledge the plan of God, that in the scheme of existence, that God has a plan for women of God to be a part of the dominion that he has ordained for us to walk in, and to walk not only in that dominion, but in that dominion with such a knowledge that we can accurately represent the manner in which the Holy Spirit has invested the hidden treasures and wisdoms of God that are attributed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Also, be looking for us to continue in our series, The Great Manifesto. And I would encourage you to get the Hour of Manifesto, the series, the mini series of the Hour of the Manifesto, along with the other teachings. You can download them on our from our Blog Talk Radio website, or you can contact the ministry to get other features of that series to you, because I think it's very important that you understand the manner of the time and the manner of in which the Spirit is moving in this time, and have a confidence based on the word that we have as an anchor to our soul. Amen. So I would encourage you, because the first Sunday in March is coming again, and I'm going to be coming again with some more lessons on the Great Manifesto, because the Lord has really revealed some great insight on why we call this year the year of manifestation. We're not just calling it a year of manifestation for a coin term to rhyme with the number of the year, but we're saying this because we know confidently that the Lord is doing some great things amongst his people concerning manifestation. And I think it's important that we study it, so that way when we begin to see things, we will know that it's not only a fulfillment of the prophecy of the scripture, but it's made available for us for our benefit. Glory to God. Tonight, I'm not going to give you the scripture route, because I'm going to actually be using the scriptures as references, support to the information that is given tonight. We have some five truths that we're going to go through in the next hour, and then I will see you on the next broadcast. Those of you who are listening late at night and you're tired, you don't always have to listen live. You can always go back, because these are chronologically documented for your benefit, to go back and get the information that is pertaining to the revelation that is revealed on this broadcast. So tonight, right before we get into the word, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Encourage you to keep supporting, and encourage other ministers to listen to this broadcast. by dialing in 646-595-4877. And we're on every Sunday night, and we're on every Thursday night at 11 p.m., giving insights from ministers and ministry leaders to help them with a knowledge base of the scripture. My job is not to preach on this, but to give information that I believe will help you in the furtherance of your personal vocations and endeavors in ministry. All right, let's look to the Father as we begin tonight's lesson, and let's invoke the Holy Spirit to involve himself in the process. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad. We thank you that you have given us wisdom, knowledge, and revelation in you for your purposes that you have set in us for us to know and walk out in our lifetime. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and Lord and equipper tonight as he makes known clearly through articulation of speech and deliberation of thought and dialogue that I have purposed to communicate to your precious ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might do it today accurately in conjunction with your will and the impressions of the Spirit that you reveal to me. Father, I pray that in this time of study on prayer, that it would provoke us to personally develop greater awarenesses to the manner in which we should pray, how we should pray, and more importantly, Father, be a promotion and a marketing for the advantages of dialoguing with you personally and intimately, Father. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that that you are helping communicate as much as possible in these discussions, not only a theological rhetoric, but a revelation of the intent of God's heart concerning the minister's prayer life and the prevalence of it in this dispensation as things progress amongst us, Father. Now, Holy Spirit, you alone, Father, you alone will get all praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do pray and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, tonight I have a unique title, and it's discovered in Romans chapter 8. And I would encourage you to read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to refer to it often, but the Lord gave me a rather unique title for tonight's lesson concerning prayer. And he kind of changed up my mode of study. There are times where the Holy Spirit, when I'm going over what I should discuss amongst ministers, there are manners, and I've learned to be very observant in how the Holy Spirit deals with me in my study. And one of the methods that he does is he usually gives me the content, and then he gives me the references afterwards. And then there are times where he gives me a reference or a glossary of scriptures. And then from that, he extrapolates truths that I can use to shape and enhance my discussion. And in my discussion tonight, he began to illuminate scriptures not only in a contextual manner, greater than just giving the facts of scriptures through dialogue as I normally do. And there are several scriptures that I want to give you first to kind of help you understand that when I go through the points that I'm going to go through, they're not from my opinion, but they have been extrapolated from the content, which is the contextuality of the scriptures that I'm going to give, which are found in Romans 8, 24 through 32, Ephesians 1, 16 through 17, and also in Romans 8, you can go to verses 13 through 15, in addition to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 14. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, James chapter 2, verses 25 through 26, and Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And we'll go to one brief scripture. Well, we'll go to several scriptures. Let's go to our foundation in Psalms chapter 5, and we'll go into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 18. In Psalms chapter 5, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up, for thou art not a God that hath not pleasure in wickedness, that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasingly. The Lord will offer the bloody and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." There's a way that the Lord has instructed for us to go, and that way is straight. But the Lord, the prayer the reason why I like this prayer so is because the psalmist who wrote this asked the Lord to give attention to the manner in which he prays. And I wonder, as ministers of the gospel, because my goal is to purpose and provoke you again to examine and suggest affirmations directed from the scriptures as a plan of action that establishes a communion with God, that provokes a lifestyle of prayer, that obtains the power to exemplify and to perform the sacred vocation of our ministry. And this is what I like about Psalms 5. This guy was so confident in his steadfastness in God that he asked God to consider the manner in which he prayed. And I wonder, as a minister of the gospel, have you purposed in your life for God to consider the manner in which you pray and the manner in which you study his word? Because I think that is the activation that motivates the power that is needed to pray effectively, because it's the effectual working of prayer that avails much in the lives of those who have purposed to be righteous, because it's the righteous people's prayers that prevail. And so that's what this psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter 5. And then I love 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14, but there's more to 7 verses 4. There's more to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and we have to back up to verse 12, I believe, to get a greater appreciation for 14, because Solomon makes this prayer a praise to God, and he does things for God, and God then establishes and qualifies his prayer with answers. So it's not just, okay, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. There's more to it, because the request to him, getting God to say if the people would pray, was based on the actions that he took to provoke God. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about empowering the preacher's prayer life. It's really the provoking part, because what I find is that preachers are not praying, and they're not provoking God to be attentive, and when they go to deliberate, there's no power. And there's no power because there's no prayer. Amen. I was listening to a lot of preachers. I listened to a lot of preachers purposely, because my ministry is toward preaching. But it's also healthy for me to listen to preachers to get an idea of how to pray greater for preachers to provoke themselves to prayer, because it's a self-pursuit that provokes you to prayer. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 18, I'll read it quickly. It says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears shall attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Very powerful. And as for thee, if thou would walk before me as David thy father walked, and according to all that I have commanded thee, and thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. So we understand that it was not only to position the people for prayer, but when Solomon determined to do what God had commanded him to do, there was a covenant established to bring restoration. And why? Because he was empowered. He was empowered. And, of course, you know, he was motivated by the commands of God, which stimulated based on the Spirit of God. And tonight I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to be religious about it, because a lot of times when we're religious about the role of the Holy Spirit, the relevance of the Holy Spirit is diminished. And there are reasons as to why people don't pray, especially ministers of the gospel. And I've given five as a means to communicate why people don't pray. And I said because it's a lack of appreciation to the role placed upon the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know that the Lord Jesus Christ placed a role on the Holy Spirit pertaining to you and pertaining to your prayer life? That's one of the reasons why you're empowered to pray. And that's what we're going to talk about. And then also, it also indicates that there's a lack of reverence toward the Lord Jesus. Because when you don't respect whom he delegated, then you don't respect him. And then there's too much arrogance in our ability to communicate on God's behalf. Because some of us believe because we can do and we can appear to be God's servant that we actually have God's credence. So our arrogance and our ability to communicate on God's behalf occurs when prayer becomes a tradition and a ritual. So we have to avoid this, but, you know, this is one of the reasons why people don't pray, especially preachers. And then the third thing we said was because the priority of prayer has been reduced to the demands to function beyond the manner in which the Lord has deemed a worthy work. So the priority of prayer has not been placed. There has not been a proper place of priority. And then number four, because common ignorances that make it seem like prayer is not a sin, that it's not a sin to pray. But the scripture lets us know that it is a sin to be prayerless. And then number five, a lack of reverence toward the Word of God, because the Word of God reveals the intent for you to develop a priority to your prayer life. So those are some of the five reasons that we gave. And tonight I want to build on that, and I want to reinforce the role of the Holy Spirit. And I've entitled this, As We Ought, Five Appearances to the Power Behind Our Prayer. According to the scriptures, based on the scriptures that I gave, and I want you to really review those scriptures in your own personal times, but for introductory sake, let's just go to Romans chapter 8, And we'll read verses 24 through 32. I think it's very important that you read the whole chapter of Romans. Romans is a road map to the Christian experience. And I think if you read Romans, you'll understand as ministers, whenever someone has the contemplations about understanding the Spirit and the role of the Spirit, because the role of the Spirit is everything toward the Christian experience. What do I mean by that? The word Christian is indicative of Christ and followers, though Christ and followers. Okay, so when you say people are followers of Christ, they have to be acquainted with Christ, and Christ, of course, is the anointed one and his anointing, which we know is the Holy Spirit. So the Christian experience is predicated on the role understood that the Holy Spirit has. And that is why there are many people who try to experience Christianity and fail and have falters, and the way of a transgressor is hard, the scripture says, and have hard times because they haven't given proper role to the relevance of the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8 and all of Romans really helps us understand the resolve to relate and to release the Spirit of God within us to take proper place over just the natural makeup of man. And, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, I wish above all that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And we know that soul prospering is predicated on the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God having proper place. Amen. And so in Romans, and I like to give you a little context behind it, and then we'll get into our 5 points because I have a lot of material to give you. But it says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, in this same manner that he builds the pattern of hope, we don't, and this is what I wanted you to understand. When that word likewise, if you have a study note, I would encourage you to print out and go to Bible Gateway and get this passage, Romans 8, 24 through 32, print it out, because I don't believe in writing Bibles. That's just my little personal preference. But I'm not telling you, if you want to write in your Bible, you can. But I would definitely look up that word likewise. And I want you to understand that the scriptures are written, and then there are patterns in the scriptures which gives credence to certain words. And he's saying, just like hope that causes you to have patience to wait for it based on it not being seen, is the same manner in which the Spirit helps us in our infirmity. For when we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but, see, it says as we ought, and then it cancels it with but. The Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that they might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So the Lord Jesus Christ knows the mind of the Spirit. And as a result of you being acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, all things work together because you love God and you're called according to his purpose. And it goes on and on, and we can go. But this scripture, I love the word likewise. And the Lord was reminding me that there's an expectation to the manner in which we pray. Catch this in the spirit, preachers. I'm jumping beyond because I don't want to get just in the fundamentals of prayer. Men ought to always pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. Enter into thy secret closet. Don't pray repetitively like the hypocrites do because they get their reward by praying openly. They don't get any results after they pray. And one of the things that we use as a motivation to explore this teaching was, of course, Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's instructions on prayer. And we said that what we wanted to kind of get a answer as to why the disciples approached Jesus as to learning how to pray in the manner in which he prayed. See, they didn't come to Jesus saying, "Lord, teach us to pray," because they just wanted to learn how to pray because they hadn't prayed before. They had already been praying. We understand that. But they knew based on the things that they saw and the manner and the relationship that they had with Jesus that it demanded a change in their prayer life. And I'm saying to you and stirring up to you as by way of members, if you're a minister of the gospel, that there should be certain things based on the ministry that provokes you to empower your prayer life to a greater realm. And that greater realm is found in the Spirit, which elevates you from glory unto glory. And so tonight we're talking about five appearances behind the power of prayer, because there's power when you pray because of the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our infirmities, our weakness. Our weakness is the flesh. Flesh doesn't want to pray. And there should be a pattern to your prayer life. And that's one of the challenges in which the Lord is giving us today. And so I want to give you two pertinent points to help stimulate this discussion. And number one is our ability to respond to what we hear will shape the direction of the power allotted to the purpose we choose to obey. Let me read that again just for your hearing. Our ability to respond to what we hear will shape the direction of the power allotted to the purpose we choose to obey. And then the second thing is relevance will only be attributed to them that have purpose to perceive the will of God. Let me say that again. Relevance will only be attributed to them that have purpose to perceive the will of God. So there are certain positionings that we have in the scheme of empowerment. Now, of course, the Lord helps us, and he takes it a step further by saying it is he that causes us to will and do his good pleasure. So he helps us will and do, and there is an effort and there is an assistance in the effort to will. But we must choose to obey and make relevant. And that's that is the key. And when you know this, you will preach in a manner to ministering to ministers or ministering to God's precious congregation in a greater way, because you're going to direct them to their efforts that they need to take in order to receive the power that has been allotted to them. Because what they will find when they get in obedience, that it's been so invested in them that it was planned before the foundations of the world. And so our prayer life is very important. There are appearances. Apparent means there are things that are evident, that are already in place when we pray. The first one is the power behind our prayer establishes the confidence needed to approach God for what we need out of establishing a prayer life. See, because, and I'm going through some fundamentals because I'm finding as I dialogue and deliberate over preachers, if your motive is wrong, everything else is obscure. No matter how much you try to communicate like you're doing right, if the motive behind it, see, the Bible says if your heart condemns you, you're already in trouble. And your conscience is not right. And part of the empowerment factor is your focus to establish obedience and relevance. Because The reason why you're not praying like you should pray is because you haven't established the obedience of prayer, and you haven't made it relevant in your life. And so the power behind our prayer establishes the confidence needed to approach God for what we need out of our prayer, of establishing a prayer life. Confidence is formed in the knowledge backed by proofs and manifestations of apparent truth. See, and notice what I'm saying, confidence needed to approach. Because what I realize is this, and even though we act like we have free access to God, when we really recognize how holy He is and that He's the creator of heaven and earth, it will put a reverence on you so that if the reverence is not guided by the Holy Spirit, you will be hesitant to really approach God, because God is powerful. He created the heavens and the earth, and He breathed into the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a communicating spirit. So when you talk about going in the presence of God to request of God, to get answers and directions from God based on His willingness to communicate to you, who you know is not always in the right position, there's a confidence needed. And even in our ability to be confident, the Holy Spirit redefines our confidence by helping us in our weakness. But that's based on the knowledge we know. And there are some people who don't really have who don't have access in the presence of God, but they seem confident. Well, confidence is formed in the knowledge backed by proofs and manifestations of apparent truth. And truth is already relegated in this context by the Holy Spirit. Many fail to have a prayer life because they don't have a confident approach. Intimidation to a holy God can only be overcome by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So then the lack of hearing from a ministry vantage is due to the amount of time purpose to meet with God on His terms. See, there's a manner in which God wants you to come toward Him. And you can't come through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says you need to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit that will lead you how to come. You can knock. You can ask, but the Holy Spirit is going to give you the timing and when you should do that. And He's going to make sure. See, because this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, well, His will is under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who sheds light that the will of God is done in this manner. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that's the power behind our prayer that established this confidence that needed to approach God. And I'm reviewing back to why people don't pray, but then I'm also trying to give solutions as to what is needed to pray. Confidence in the approach. And confidence in the approach is going to be formed in the knowledge backed by proofs and manifestations of apparent truth. That apparent truth is located in the Word of God, based on the Spirit that reveals how we should pray. Even if, you know, because some people say, "Oh, well, I just resolve to speak in tongues." Well, you need to speak as the Spirit will, as the Spirit gives utterance. You know, and of course, I understand through maturity in the Word that the Holy Spirit, because of course, people have taken out of context the unction. You know, we have an unction from the Holy One that we don't need no man to teach us, know all things. So people have made the unction sensual. And so unless they feel a jerk in their spirit and they'll start saying, that's not tongues, first of all. Because the tongues is predicated as the Spirit will, and there's an order to the manner in which you should pray. And the Holy Spirit does things in decency and in order, because that is the quality of God, and He is a part of the Godhead. Hallelujah. And so we have to do things on His turn, to meet with God on His turn. Amen. The second thing, now that was the first thing, the power behind our prayer establishes the confidence needed to approach God. The second thing is the power behind our prayer enables the Christian experience to be shared, which is divine unity, among the fellowship, among the righteous. And let me say this up forefront. You can't experience the Christian experience outside of righteousness. Righteousness needs to be sought after. Just like the psalmist wrote in chapter 5, the reason why he could consider it is because he has purpose, O Lord, to be in the Lord's righteousness that is assured that when he operates in the righteousness of God, that the pathway that he needs to take will be straight before his face. So the Christian experience is really identified in a state of righteousness. Now, there was another subject that was brought up as a discussion, and I'm going to talk about this in revisiting the fundamental of the faith, because I find that it's essential, especially when you're listening to this broadcast, that we have doctrinal snapshots so that you know what we believe and why we believe. That way you can determine whether this is appropriate training for you. In addition to that, it's also important that I revisit the fundamentals, because I find when I'm talking to people, it's easier to locate the manner in which you should minister when you know which fundamental they're lacking. And the fundamentals are defined in Scripture systematically, because God does everything in decency and in order. And one of the fundamentals that many people have a problem with is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ pertaining to salvation and pertaining to prayer. And that's why I'm going over empowering the preacher's prayer life, which is essential to entering into the realm of fundamentals. Because, see, if you're not going to be in a state of prayer, you're not going to receive what the Spirit is saying to the church, because you're not in the realm of communication, which God has allotted to communicate divine things, which is prayer. So part of the challenge that I'm seeing is people don't have, and this is why there's no unity, is because there's no security in the role that the Lord Jesus has finished through redemption. And they don't understand redemption. They don't understand reconciliation. They don't understand salvation. Because some people think they can lose their salvation because of an action. And they think they can establish their salvation because of an action. So there's areas that we're going to talk about, because the Christian experience is essential, and that's one of the fundamentals. That's what we preach about, but we really don't know how to explain it. And that's what I'm realizing when I'm talking to people, because if you go through telling people they should pray, they should be studying the Word of God, but hey, you don't even know if you're getting into heaven or not, because you don't believe that you're eternally secured. I mean, my goodness, what's the use of the deliberation? I don't even know that if what you're preaching and what you're living is going to amount into eternal security. And I'm saying I profess the Lord Jesus with words, but I don't believe that he finished what he did, what he said he finished. I believe that it's still going on. So then my experience of Christianity is irrelevant. Why? Because there's no such thing as eternal security in the minds of a lot of believers. Because people think they can lose their salvation. Now, it's one thing to make sure that you are saved. It's another thing to say, oh, you can get saved and then lose it. Because anybody who turns away from the Holy Spirit introduces us to the reality of salvation. The Bible says there's certain things that you can't even repent from. And one of them is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. There's no repentance for that. So we have the dialogue on these things, because the unity is at stake. But there's a power behind our prayer that establishes that unity. So the Christian experience is enhanced among the righteous, and the reason why there is a failure in unity is because there is no set credence of the Spirit that empowers the manner of love we should display. The Holy Spirit has the power to reveal them that are purposed to walk with you, because he has been given charge to manifest the giftings in people. This is why it's so hard for people, and this is why people are so selfish when they're praying, because they don't know the role of the Holy Spirit, who's the gift giver, based on the leadership of the Lord Jesus. But hey, if you don't believe Jesus finished what he did, you have no confidence that he really has established a way of safety for you. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. And God arranges people in your life, purposes people in your life, and reveals it by his Spirit. One of the qualities of the Spirit is discernment. So the body, just as the body without the Spirit is dead naturally, as we see in James chapter 2, our collective body without the Spirit involvement is also dead. That's why unity cannot be achieved. Prayer establishes the communication that promotes the unity that is found in the Spirit and the bond of peace. So it shows us the value of prayer not only for ourselves, but also for other saints as well, because we're supposed to pray for all the saints. Hallelujah. The Lord really was dealing with me, and I want you to go over the scriptures that I named earlier for this reason, because there's an expectation in praying to God. See, and the role of the Spirit to help us has been set because there's an expectation for us in our prayer life. Okay, the first thing, the power behind our prayer is embedded in the intentions of God and to locate, listen to this, true purpose and identity. So one of the things that I always do when I deal with, you know, identity issues is I first give what the foundation of the Word of God says about our identity based on the work that Jesus has committed to. That the glorious gospel has us, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. They are identified. The Spirit gives life. It identifies. You know, it says these things are made manifest. Confess the grace according to his own purpose given to us by Jesus Christ. We are wholly saved, called, and all of that. You know, the charges to Timothy, it says that a good thing which is committed unto thee, kept by the Holy Spirit, is kept by the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Ghost. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 through 8 through 14, which is one of the scriptures I gave us. If we live in the flesh, after we shall die. But if we live through the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the body, and we shall live. So our life and our purpose is identified in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the power behind our prayer. And the prayer is the communication link that causes the soul and the body to comply with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just feel the anointing in my deliberation, but I have to hurry up because we're coming to the close of the lesson, and I want to give this to you. A revelation of the purpose is discovered in the truth pertains to the time you allotted. The Holy Spirit gives light to your path. The will of God is the knowledge of the Spirit of God in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Or wisdom, revelation, and understanding. A healthy amount of knowledge concerning our restored identity is needed to pray in the manner in which God listens, because his ears are attentive to the righteous. And we read that in Psalms and 2 Chronicles. We read that in Romans. We read that in Corinthians and Timothy and all the other scriptures that we have mentioned, Ephesians chapter 3. tells us that he prays in Ephesians 3:16 that we would be strengthened with all might in our inner man. Which is our inner man, but our spirit. So the Spirit of God gives us these advantages. And it lets us know that, hey, you're not just getting that identity for that sake alone, but you're giving it so that way you know that God listens to you. See, the confidence, one of the things that we said about confidence is that it's formed in the knowledge of God, but it's also based on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We know that confidence is also stemmed based on us being righteous. Because we know if we're righteous, he's attentive to us. But what is that? Purpose and identity. So sometimes when you're dealing with people not establishing prayer lines, and I'm talking to ministers to minister, and people are having problems not hearing from God because they don't have confidence in their approach, and they definitely don't have a good understanding on their identity. See, because if they knew the work in which it caused God to unite with us so that way he can transmit what we need to know in order to get the most out of our lives, then they would position themselves in a manner of confidence needed based on the role of the Holy Spirit. They would empower the role of the Holy Spirit. And that is the fight. The devil does not want the children of God to be driven by the Spirit. If he could take away the role of the Spirit and take away the importance of the Spirit, he can destroy every aspect of your life. Glory to God. And that's why he oh Lord, don't pray. Don't communicate to God. Amen. Lord knows, let's start with the preacher, the one where faith is produced when he speaks. Let's get him not praying. Hallelujah. So this is what I'm saying. The Spirit, we know that the Spirit establishes, it enables, it embeds itself in identity and purpose. See, because there's a purpose and a reason and a time and a season for everything under heaven. And then number four, the power behind our prayer enforces the wisdom allotted wholly by means of the will of God. Thus, this power is regarded as the only means of the divine nature. Now, this will help you because, see, what we're trying to do is make carnality spiritual, and that's not possible. A natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. Why? Spiritual discernment is based on what eyes have not seen, what ears not have heard, but what God has revealed. And we know that the role of the Holy Spirit searches not even the deep things of God. So understanding is essential to approaching praying with power, and many try to attain power from God without understanding and fail every time. So the will of God is based on the personality of God, who does everything in decency and in order. That's how you reestablish that. You don't just seek his hand without knowing his ways. And then that force that we're talking about that enforces our prayer is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's based on the leadership that has been relegated and designed for the Holy Spirit to contain. See, if you know God is a God of order and that he does everything in decency and in order, you'll heighten your appreciation to the role of the Holy Spirit. And finally, number five, the power behind our prayer is proof. And that proof is the love of God and the call and the calling according to the purpose. So we understand this, look. Love is a motivator of every action resulting in power attributed from God. Pride, all forms of pride, and pride really is a stem of fear, but all forms of pride prevent love from taking proper place. Proof is always needed when it pertains to prayer. Proof is always needed when it pertains to prayer. No one prays for no proof. Proof is always needed for prayer. Even prayers of thanksgiving, the proof of thanksgiving is joy. We want results when we pray. If you don't go and you don't just pray haphazardly, you pray on purpose, and that's to get results. There's no need to communicate if there's no results that are not intended to come out of that communication in any form. So proof is always needed when it comes to prayer. There would be no need to pray if there was not a cause for proof. This also gives strength to our faith and our faithfulness. And then you are known by your life of love to God because it identifies your dedication toward Him and His Son, the Lord Jesus. So, And the Lord has delegated power to come through the Spirit, not by might nor by power that is ascribed through the world, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. So as we ought, there should be some appearance. The Spirit has been given to help us in our weaknesses. And like Romans 1 says, we are without excuse. I'm going to come back to you next Thursday, I believe, with more information on prayer. We've gone through 13 passages of scripture. We've shared more on prayer, giving you five appearances to the power behind prayer. We reviewed the five reasons why ministers don't pray, and of course we've suggested and examine affirmation directed from the scriptures as a plan of action to establish a communion with God that provokes a lifestyle of prayer that obtains power. Where does that power come from? The Holy Spirit, to exemplify and perform the sacred vocation of ministry that we profess. I'm out of time, y'all. I'm so out of time. It's 2 minutes before the end, and I thank you for your listening tonight. I pray that it was a blessing and that it helped you in your walk, in your prayer ministry. Father, open up the heavens and the ears of your people. Release the hardness of the hardened heart and allow their hearts to be open based on the quality of your Spirit. Father, we thank you for enlightening us. Teach us how to approach you, Lord, that we might have confidence not only in our prayer life, but in our profession of faith, that we can confidently exemplify, defend, contend, if need be, whatever your will is for this generation. You alone, Father, will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things accomplished tonight and revealed. May even the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, the intents of our thoughts, be acceptable in our sight, in your sight, Father. You are the giver of our strength and our redeemer. It has been an hour of power, and I'm just so happy. I'm so flowing in the Holy Spirit. I want to go on and talk to you for hours, but I truly cannot. I am out of time, and I thank you for yours. Tune in Thursday. Join me on Wednesday if you're preaching and you're in the Maryland or the Virginia area at the South County building. We have classes, I think, starting at 7 to 9 or 10 p.m. So you can join. I think there's 4 classes in all, and you can take those classes. And they're not long. We'll have you quicker than the movie theater. We'll have you out before the end of a normal movie. And we're not so religious. No, you just come in, do what you got to do, go back in your life. So join me on on Wednesday, or you can join me on Thursday by internet or radio or by phone. And I will continue on empowering the preacher's prayer life. There's some more that the Spirit has to reveal, and we still have to get into the seven revelations concerning the realm of prayer. So I thank you for your time. This is LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and the U-SWAT, host of U-SWAT radio program, believing and knowing that you will have a prosperous week, that you will continue to pray and obey the Holy Spirit and do what he commands you to do based on the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, and we'll see you next Thursday. Good night.